just talked to my babe on the telephone. She said, stop what you're doing, baby, come on home. I can't hold out, I can't hold out too long.
Welcome to a very rare morning recording of Lone Holdout. This is also our very special Father's Day episode. I'm Emily, and I'm your host, and I'm very lucky to have a father who is still living. Not only that, but living nearby, and also doesn't mind being trotted out as a prop on his daughter's vanity project. So I'm very proud to introduce you to my dad. Hi, Dad.
Hi. Can I do my... I've always wanted to be on radio, so can I do
well,
my...
Well, this is kind of like radio.
Hey, good morning, Emily. How are you doing today? Well, are we going to hear some oldies today? We're going to rock, rock, rock back to the 60s. Our day will come. Ruby and the Romantics. No.
So the theme of today's episode is thinking about your parents and what they were doing at your age and how that affected what the decisions that they made and how they raised you and how you're going to raise your generation. So along that theme, I guess you probably have a real name. So if you want to introduce yourself that way,
My name is Herbert Brinkmeyer.
I guess if you wanted to have a pseudonym, it's a little late for that now.
Yeah.
So
Johnny Rock.
Listeners of this podcast know that I am 29. I am recently divorced. And I was with this person for about 8 years, and so I was kind of frozen in carbonite for that amount of time. And now getting out and looking at people who are also my age and realizing that there are 29-year-olds who are successful in their careers, who 29-year-olds who have kids who are tweens. I'm realizing this. A few people who have kids over the age of 10. Shocking. So when you were my age, it was 1980.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even born yet.
That's right.
And I thought maybe you could tell us a little bit
in
about...
In fact, I was still single, and 1 month and probably about 5 days away from getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So, which lasted for, better than 27 years. But I was... I graduated from college, had worked my way up in a company, and I was had just recently in 79 been promoted to a procurement position in the office for a major retailer, and basically was just starting my career.
Now, one of the themes of this podcast is figuring out things in pop culture that are really popular that I have no knowledge of and filling in that gap in my knowledge. So tell me about 1980 and the things that were hip at that time.
Oh, 1980. It depended upon which genre of music you liked, whether it was country or rock. We just come out of Vietnam War. You had a lot of people remembering what Vietnam was like. A lot of country music down here in Texas. A lot of crossover country and rock. I went to a Cal College in Texas at Texas A&M, so every Thursday night we used to go to a place called Lakeview and just go dancing, and that's the type of environment we were in. In that time, there were a lot of people that felt that they were successful in stopping the Vietnam War. A lot of pacifists that were taking a lot of credit for nothing that they did. They fell back on the usual areas of concern, which was income inequality, poverty, race, and then tried to exploit those things for their own benefit. So much the same, you know, then as it is now in the politics, but nothing really striking that stood out other than trying to make your own way in the world.
And I think when I first brought up the idea of doing this episode with you, I asked what was popular at that time, and you said IBM computers.
Well, the first IBM PC came out in about early 80, and then came out commercially in about 81. You had a lot of other smaller computers that were around, and the only thing that you could really run on an IBM at that time was a spreadsheet called Lotus,
mm-hmm.
Made by Lotus Development Corporation. And in our office building, we had one of them, and it was on a cart. And I learned how to work on a spreadsheet and put all the things that I did on spreadsheets. So I, just by usage, I was able to share it with the guys in the industrial technology department. So they actually moved their office across the building next to ours so that we could roll it back and forth. You know, it was on a big cart, so we could roll it back and forth when we wanted to use it.
So. Have you ever watched Mad Men, the TV show?
I watched it once.
So they're in their final season, and in the timeline, it's 1969,
yeah.
And their office just got a computer, and it's taking up an entire room.
Oh, yeah. So, we had a mainframe, which was downstairs,
actually,
and that's what we ran all the invoicing and billing and warehousing.
And the computer on a cart, how big was it?
It was 256K.
Mm-hmm.
And it had floppy disks. And then we thought we'd died and gone to heaven about 6 months later when they came out with the IBM PC 80,
mm-hmm.
which was 512K. my watch has more computing power than that thing did. But what was really funny is that machine had more computing power, straight computing power, than the mainframe downstairs. And we always were trying to figure out ways to in which we finally did, tap into the mainframe downstairs to be able to draw information into spreadsheets,
mm-hmm.
Which was kind of exciting because nobody in our company, and you got to remember, this was a company that was worldwide at that time, and the largest food retailer in the world, with divisions in 22 divisions in the United States, 6 in Canada, Australia, West Germany, UK, United Arab Emirates, and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to pull information off a mainframe, which was something even our corporate execs couldn't figure out how to do, was pretty exciting, yeah. And then we got into information overload. All right, we were able to pull
more
up.
So than nowadays.
Well, in comparison to where we were with pencil and paper and a printing calculator,
mm-hmm.
yeah, because we were inundated with information that we could throw into spreadsheets and come up with some really inane conclusions. But yeah, it was a pretty exciting time when machines came out.
So we talked about how I just went through my divorce and mm-hmm. how I'm 29.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been through both of these things before. You've been 29.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been through a divorce,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, once, yeah.
Once upon a time.
Once on both, yeah.
Yeah. So would you say that me being so contemplative?
Contemplative.
Contemplative.
You gotta remember, I could.
Contemplating.
You know, she was reading when she was 3. I've always wondered about the comprehension, but
I've been meeting a lot of people recently who I guess are seeing words that they've never spoken before, like have just seen red, and so they've got some strange pronunciations for things.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if I come across one. But I've been kind of reflective over myself at this age, other people at this age. Would you say that's more due to the divorce or to just approaching the age of 30? And
a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. In a divorce situation, sometimes you it's human nature to try to assign blame. And sometimes stuff just happens, okay? And you just gotta get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Approaching 30, you're realizing that part of your life is gone. You've got a limited. We all have a limited amount of time on this planet. So, you know, what are we gonna do with it? So every year kind of gets you to a point where you reflect and say, well, you know, am I any closer to what I think I ought to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you realize that, you hit a milestone year, you know, like 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, you're thinking, well, how much longer can this thing last? Okay.
I know we've dropped some numbers, but do you want to go ahead and tell us how old you are?
I'm 62. I'll be 63 in October.
There you go. Now, I think you'll have to tell me if this is just part of my generation, but people my age don't think that they're old yet. They think that they're still hip, that they can still get with it.
Well, I'm not old yet, okay? You know, I've got the body of an old man, but inside me is a teenager going, what the hell happened? Right?
So. Now, I said that the theme was talking to our parents and realizing their humanity and stuff, but actually I just tricked you on to do something I've been holding out on, which is stupid Facebook trends. And this will make us feel like teenagers who want to say, what the hell? So
right.
Before we got started, I had you open up a couple of links.
Yeah.
And I think we can get into that now. We're going to get into BuzzFeed quizzes and Bitstrips. So, Bitstrips, I don't know if you're...
I have no clue what this is.
Now, what this is a...
I got to click on it?
Yeah.
Design your avatar?
Yeah. So that'll take you to their thing on Facebook.
Okay.
And we're going to figure out from here where to go.
Now, this is not automatically going to get shipped to every friend I have.
God, I hope not, because I don't know if you've been getting lots of Candy Crush requests, because I have.
I've been getting Candy Crush and poker requests. You know?
And yeah,
I don't do that stuff.
And so what this is a cartoon where you are supposed to design a guy that looks like yourself and then put it into scenes. And that takes the place of actual interesting content in people's status updates. They will, as you can see, there's a picture of a guy giving another guy a cake, and the other guy looks excited. Happy birthday, dude.
Yeah.
Like, instead of actually saying happy birthday to your friend.
Yeah. So we get started by designing your avatar?
Yes. And if we come up with something interesting, we'll put it on the Lone Holdout Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I'm guessing... Oh, skin tone. I'm going to go with the palest.
Huh?
I'm going with the palest of skin tones.
I'm going with this one right here. What shape is your face?
Yeah. I think I have kind of
they
a square face.
They all look the same.
They do all look the same.
Huh?
They do all look the same. That's true.
They both have ears.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I have kind of a...
No, that's fine.
...square face and a pointy chin. All right. So, yeah, you just select a guy and, yeah. Oh, hair color. Okay, well, I don't know.
Same as my skin tone.
I think you'll get to... Oh, yeah, you get to select... Once you get to the next screen, you'll see. Yeah, after you pick your hair color, you'll get to bald. for those of you listening at home, Dad does not have a lot of hair. Choose your jaw. That's super weird.
I'm not getting. That's more like this.
It's coming along.
Huh?
It's coming along. It's looking like you. Do they have like a one raised eyebrow? I'm on eyebrows.
Choose your jaw.
Choose your jaw. Oh yeah, you're only one step behind me.
Probably right there.
Oh, how angry do I want these eyebrows
choose
to be?
Choose your eyebrows.
Oh, you're like I'm laboring over eyebrows. I don't know why.
What is right. Your eye shape?
Oh, you don't.
It's eye shaped. I mean,
it's eye shaped eyes.
Huh?
It's eye shaped eyes.
And they all look the same too. Yeah, that's close enough. Pick your nose.
Good one. I see what you did there.
Huh?
I see what you did there.
Well, it told me to.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I don't know. That's kind of been a sticking point with me. I'm very self-conscious about my nose.
Select your ears. And they all look the same.
They're all ear-shaped.
They're all ear-shaped.
Choose your mouth. Did you get to mouth already?
Yeah, I got mouth and nose and ears.
All the features. I think my nose is failing me.
No, I don't have any. Well, I guess I haven't shaved this morning, so I do have facial hair, but how tall are you?
I think yours looks more like you than mine looks like me.
I am average. What is your build? I'm about right there, I think.
Add face details. Like what? Oh, wrinkles. Oh, my.
Pick an outfit.
Oh, huh? There we go. Glasses. That's what we need.
Do what?
I said glasses. That's what'll make me look like me. There we go.
There's Joey in his underwear. Yeah, that's close enough, but it's...
Let's see. Now, what I'm wondering is if they're going to let us hook the two of them up and go, we can go on adventures together.
How do I fine-tune it?
I don't know. I think I'm just average. Choose your chest size. Oh, my. Oh, we get to select boobs.
Pantalones. Jorts.
Did you say jorts?
Shorts,
okay. Well, jorts is a term for jean shorts. You gave yourself much shorter shorts.
Huh?
You gave yourself, like, super short shorts.
Well, they're above my knees.
They're proportional.
Huh?
Proportional.
All right. I guess I'll save this, huh?
Yes. Oh, hoodie, sweatshirt. All right. Oh, I'm much more comfortable now.
Robert Simmons.
Oh. Well, if you wait till I'm done, it might load me into... Load both of us into the same one. All right, let's save
my guy. Robert Simmons is on Facebook.
I know, that's what it's telling you. So now it's telling you about putting you in a scenario. Apparently another one where you get to wear short shorts, where you're frolicking on a beach. You're flying like a superhero. Strict liquid diet, and it shows me putting a pizza into a blender. Make a friend comic. If we click it, there's
what's
a
that?
Tab at the top. Oh, this is all the people who have built theirs. Some of these are accurate, some of them are not. Oh, here's you. All right, I found you.
So what do I do now?
I'm gonna build a comic with the two of us together.
Make a friend comic? Oh.
Yep. Okay, you do one too. We'll put them both on the Facebook page.
Make a friend comic.
This one has me clapping and you're glowing, and it says, Emily regrets ever doubting Herbert. This one just says, new couch.
Huh?
This one just says, new couch.
New couch.
Yes. Hey, new couch. Do you see what I mean about it taking the place of content? So, it's lost its steam a little bit, but there were a couple of months there where there were a few people posting nothing but this.
Yeah.
And there are still people who post close to nothing but this. Just bit strips of...
Yeah, usually we had to get out of the house to, you know, see a new couch. And, or, you know, go see somebody tune you out. Or
you make Emily and Herbert sick, and it shows them sticking their fingers down their throats.
Oh, yeah, I see.
That's really funny. I mean, like, it's fun for an hour, but I don't see how this ever holds steam for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, this is...
It's pretty dumb, right?
Well, I mean, if you're just, you know, I'd much rather be mowing grass than doing this.
Right.
You know?
I think we're going with Emily regrets ever doubting Herbert, which is very funny. It seems right for Father's Day. What do you think?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That'll work. Yeah.
All right. Now, the question of share. I don't know if I want to share this with anybody, because then they'll know that I did this.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So I might see if it'll let me download it and put it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing we were going to do is quizzes. And there was a while there where a lot of people were posting, which dust mite had this too.
I had a lot of requests to do this kind of quiz and that kind of quiz.
Yeah, which Star Wars character are you?
Like, you know, what sign are you?
You don't need a quiz for that. It's called your birth date.
or what type of animal manure would you be, you know?
When I'm making fun of it, I say dust mite. Which dust mite would you be? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick a quiz and take it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, what is your...
Oh, look, which pair of jorts are you?
Which pair of jorts are you?
Yeah, jorts, jean shorts. That's what we were just talking about.
Oh, jean shorts.
Which pair of jorts are you? Now, that's stupid.
Should your cat run for... Oh, I hate cats.
This one says, who should you kill? I wonder if I...
No, we're not going to do that.
No? Okay. This one says, how basic is your baby? And then the subhead says, your baby is mad basic.
Let's do this. Which U.S. president are you?
Okay.
All right, we'll click on that one.
The subhead says, you may not be able to name every U.S. president, but you should take this quiz anyway. You may not be hip to U.S. history, but that's okay, because it's the internet.
Okay. Choose a dog. I'll take a terrier.
I took a golden retriever.
Pick a cooking ingredient.
Salt, pepper, ketchup, oregano, basil, and thyme.
Salt.
Mint, lemon, cinnamon. I'm going to go with cinnamon.
Your teachers would describe you as...
I like how memorable is an option, but you have to be memorable if your teachers are describing you. I don't know.
I'm persistent.
I do have a teacher who listens to this podcast. Maybe he can answer that for me.
Yeah, I'd be persistent.
I'm going to go with...
I cram 4 years of college into seven, so... Choose a type of weather.
Yeah, I did it in three. I peaked early. I'm going to go with rainy on this one.
I like sunny.
Oh, the one is all out storm.
Choose a type of vacation.
Okay. Go with...
Choose a beverage.
This is awful. I'm going with cabin?
Oh, beer's good.
Oh, you're one ahead of me.
Now, choose a
beverage.
Food item.
I'm going with coffee.
Meat.
It's just meat? That's all it says?
Yeah.
Choose a food item.
Yeah, pick your favorite form of social media. How about telephone?
Is that not on there? Yeah, it seems like most of the U.S. presidents did not have Instagram. Would you say that's probably true?
Yeah, probably. Probably only one. Choose an Olympic sport.
I'm sure Clinton tweets. But he's a former U.S. president.
I like the luge.
Archery, rowing, fencing, equestrian.
Oh.
Equestrian?
Oh. Ulysses S. Grant.
I got...
Hey, you're Bill
Speaking
Clinton.
Speaking of Bill Clinton, that's who I am. Mine says, some people may question your motives, but you know what's right, and you stick to it no matter what. Yeah, that's Clinton all over, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have...
I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky.
You have serious ambition and drive. Yeah, that seems about right for my entry-level job.
Yeah, nothing can get in your way except a blue dress.
Yeah, right. Your yearning to learn will never fade away. Keep those ambitions high and always believe in yourself, even if it seems no one else does. Wow, they really stuck it in me at the end.
Hillary.
Oh.
Yeah. You have a rough exterior, but deep down you're forgiving and kind. You're also highly moral. You're thoughtful and can see how your actions have an impact on a larger scale. But the hope is that you're not smoking an average of 20 cigars a day.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. All right.
So there you go. Do you feel caught up now? Can anybody ever really be caught up on the crap that's on the internet, though? I watched a video about memes yesterday.
No, there's just way too much information.
What's your favorite meme?
You know the biggest problem with the internet is the accessibility.
Uh huh. The accessibility.
The accessibility, mm-hmm. And you can sit and find everything. We used to have to go to a thing called a library,
mm-hmm.
right? And we used to have to pull these drawers out, okay, and go through card catalogs, all right, that corresponded to a book on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have to go read the book because the piece of information we might want might be on page 685 out of a 1,000-page book, all right? And it was a half a paragraph. So we spent a lot of time not only searching for the information, but you really appreciated what you found when you got it.
Tell me more about libraries, Grandpa.
Yeah. They had these things called books, child. No, but I remember...
Is it making our children stupid?
Well...
Now, you said that I could read when I was 3.
Yeah.
I have...
You and your brother both.
Yeah. I have a daughter who is 6. And we've been getting progress reports. She's out for the summer now. But when she was in school, was getting progress reports that said, Gray is so sweet. That child can't read.
That child can't read. Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
Even your autistic brother can read. He can't comprehend, but he can read. Okay. And a lot of it...
That should be a TV show. Your autistic brother.
Huh?
That should be a TV show. Your autistic brother.
Yeah. But he's good on the internet. I mean, good researcher.
We should ask him what his favorite meme is.
His favorite what?
Meme?
What's that?
So, meme is... I was watching a video about
like
this yesterday.
Is that like M-E-M-E?
It is spelled M-E-M-E. And some people
That's
will...
That's
Mimi. Mimi, yeah. Some people will also pronounce it mem, like in French. This is the word for same.
Oh, la vous.
Oh, la mem.
La mem.
Oh, your favorite mem. So...
Well, what does it mean?
I was watching a video about this yesterday that basically says it's a compacted form of comedy on the internet. Like, it's prepared comedy for the masses.
It's called a joke.
Yeah, it's kind of like a joke.
Oh, I'm getting that.
But instead of, like, coming up with a joke on your own, you find a picture of a cat and put a caption on it. You should see the look on your face. Okay,
oh,
so...
Oh, wow, that is really creative.
Yeah, I know. Let me show you one that I made. Because there are... Once, you know, there are pictures that will become popular.
So in other words, I could take a picture of a guy making sausage and say, stuff it. Huh?
You could. Okay. Do you want to do that?
No, I don't really, I've seen enough of that.
Yeah, right. Okay, so this is one I made after I met Father John for the first time, because it's from memegenerator.net. You find a picture, it'll put the caption on for you. This is the success kid. Is what they call him, I believe. He's actually grasping a handful of sand. It's a picture of a baby who looks like he's real triumphant. And I have put on it, met a stranger from the internet, didn't get murdered.
Yeah.
All right. So, you may never ever keep up with all the memes.
Well, I see stuff, that people share and stuff like that. But it's like this one.
He's showing me a picture of a cat. The cat is standing on its head. It says, I'm not normal. I don't want to be. I don't pretend to be. I am me. Is this a poem?
I don't know.
B, 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 and me rhyme. I mean, that's a pretty good rhyme scheme. That's almost as good as Snoop Dogg rhyming do it with do it.
Really good. Free break check. Stop here if you can.
Nice. It's gotten to that point in the podcast where we're just on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So at least I know what a meme is.
A meme.
It's a fake joke.
It's a fake.
A manufactured, well,
it's like a joke,
are,
except
all
it's...
jokes are, well, sometimes they're not. It's a manufactured joke.
It's like a joke, but it's a picture with a caption on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you had a dad.
Yeah.
And he passed away when I was about, I was a junior in high school, so I was 16 or 17.
My dad passed away, what, about 12 years ago?
And did you ever get a chance to sit down with him and talk about how things were when, way back in the day?
No, back in those days, he sat down and told me how things were, okay?
Because he went to the library, he told you about things.
Well, Dad was a pretty good-sized man. He was about 6'2", weighed about 260. He had arms that looked like my legs, because he was a carpenter. He swung a hammer all day long. He could take a 16-penny nail, set it, and drive it in one hit. And a 16-penny nail is about 3 inches long, and drive it into a board. But he was always real quiet. He joked a lot. He had a good sense of humor, but he could be mean. And unreasonable, you know, especially, you know, if you come home drunk and you're sitting there pouring salt in his cup of coffee, telling him how coffee is the universal solvent. He just didn't really take too highly of that, okay? Yeah.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
Why are you ruining my coffee?
It was after prom, and I don't know how I got home. But I did, and I was sitting out on the patio, and Dad came out with a cup of coffee and sat down. It's where the den is now, that was the patio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, couldn't figure out how to get in the house. So I just stayed on the patio. And Dad comes out, and Mom had always had salt and pepper and stuff on the little patio table and sugar and stuff. Dad drank his coffee black, but she had some little plastic knives and forks and spoons and, you know, stuff sitting out there. So Dad comes out, and I'm sitting there leaning back in a chair, and he goes, how you doing? I said, I don't know. And so we started talking. I started playing with the salt shaker, and I put some salt in his coffee and stirred it around. Picked up, I said, no salt. Took a little sugar and poured it in. No sugar. Coffee is a universal solvent. He looked at me like I had grown horns, okay?
Or that you would solve the world's problems. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he picks his coffee up and he goes, well, smartass, he says, if the coffee is a universal solvent, why is it still in this damn cup? And then one time when I, you see, Dad had a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And
mustaches are very hip right now.
Yeah, he had a mustache. When I came home from college, I had a Jim Croce mustache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the and I had a receding hairline with a Jim Croce mustache. And I walked up to my dad, and Dad looked at me, and he goes, "Boy," he says, "I don't know why you want to cultivate under your nose what grows freely around your ass." And turned around and walked away. How do you answer that, especially when he has a mustache?
Right.
So that was my dad. Okay.
That was very special.
Huh?
That was very special.
That was,
oh my!
Yeah. So.
God, Dad, you're so lame.
And we're back, and now I'm joined by my friend Fernando the Nervous Mexican. Hi.
Hi from the Nervous Mexican.
And Fernando, when you're here on the podcast with me, I like to drink. I don't know. I think it's just kind of funny watching you drink because it's not something you're normally into.
True. That is
and,
true.
Sometimes I like to theme it around the theme of the podcast, but the theme this week is kind of tenuous, so I just decided to theme it around you. I'm going to need you to reach behind you. In the door of the fridge. Oh, you're blocking it. The
yes.
Door. In the door.
Oh my.
There's two of them. There's two of them.
Frio Light.
It's real.
It's a beer called Frio.
And it's also Frio. Cold.
And it's Frio because it's cold. Yeah, we got Frio Light. and it's 24 ounces. I really wished I could have found 40s, because the idea of a Frio 40 is hilarious. So.
Ooh, I will be muy Frio tonight. Well, actually, no, because it's Frio light, so I will not be muy Frio. Poquito Frio. Poquito Frio.
And so I just played an interview that I did with my dad.
Uh-huh.
And you did an interview with your dad.
Yes, I did.
And I found your situation to be very interesting because your dad was born 30 years after my dad.
Right.
1932, right?
1932.
Okay, my dad was born in 1951, so your dad is how old?
He is 82.
So I found that really interesting just because you're his late in life baby, right?
Indeed, I am his last one.
And it's not that you were a surprise necessarily. It's that he had gotten married a second time.
Right. I mean, he had married, I don't actually know the exact age, but he married at a typical age that adults do. And, he had a family with his first wife, and, he had many children over the course of a few years, and, they're all grown up now. And, but later in life, yes, he met my mom. They had me when at an age, I guess, that is not typical for people to have children.
A little older.
Yes, a little older.
And you and I are kind of in a similar life circumstance right now where we thought we were being grown-ups and used to live on our own like normal human beings. And then about the same time, moved back to our hometowns.
Indeed.
Near to our parents. You are about to move out of your parents' house. You were kind of living there as a convenience thing.
You're right, exactly.
And I am living, like, 2 minutes away from my dad and grandma's house. So,
right.
We are both pretty lucky to have parents nearby that we're able to talk to. But
indeed.
Kind of feel like big babies.
It can.
Depending so much on our parents.
It can. I mean, you know, the fact is, you know, as I've, for 5 years after, you know, living away at college and still going back and forth to my parents' house, I would, you know, I lived on my own and had to do my own laundry, had to cook my own food, had to clean my own room. In this last year that I've been back home, though, I have not had to do any of that. So
I am kind of surprised that your mother dear is letting you move out, because she loves having you there.
She does.
That's probably why it's been going on a year, is that you got there and she was so happy.
And I guess it would be safe if it'd be fair to say that C has then been a factor in keeping me there. I mean, as you said, it's sometimes it can be for convenience, and it's also been for financial reasons. But keeping mother happy, I guess, has been
just a bonus.
So
that's my phone dinging, and I'm sure it's showing up on the recording. Damn it! So. I jokingly refer to you as the nervous Mexican. Mm-hmm. In the interview that we're going to be playing with you and your dad,
mm-hmm.
you're not nervous at all because you've done this before. I'd forgotten all about the fact that you actually, in another life, used to be a journalist.
Yes, in the 1800s, in my life before life. Yes, I was.
You and I work together at a newspaper office, but it's not journalism exactly. I would say we lay out the paper.
Right, exactly.
But previous to this, you actually did journalism work where you interviewed people. You were on the radio before, right?
It came as a bonus, like once or twice. I was asked to do radio, representing the paper on a radio program, just once or twice. But yeah, but yes, I mean, I was a reporter and editor for 5 years. I would interview people, would record the interviews with my own personal recorder. At the time, I would call myself, I was maybe not the nervous Mexican, but maybe the nervous reporter. In that I came
so up. So you weren't Mexican back then.
I was Mexican. I developed that later.
Oh, okay.
Developed
Mexican you got a
later.
Tan.
Yeah, I got a tan and
grew a sweet mustache.
The effects came later. So, I could tell. I mean, I wasn't necessarily always asking questions necessarily succinctly, or was not because I was a shy kid as a in high school, but and the fact that I've became a reporter and an interviewer is still sometimes a shock to me, but at the same time, I think that it kind of helped me in that I was not threatening to the people I was interviewing.
Well, my compliments. It sounds great.
Thank you.
So, you've listened to the interview that I did with my dad, and
yes.
Toward the end, we decided to check out some dumb Facebook trends, and I wanted to see if you wanted to do it too. Because my dad and I got on Bitstrips and made avatars.
That's...
I thought maybe you could do that as well.
Sounds...
Maybe we'll put together an avatar of you and me. We'll see if there's a scenario where you can put them together and they look like they're podcasting. And we'll put it on the Lone Holdout Facebook page.
Sounds intriguing.
Okay. So before we started recording, I brought up the Bitstrips page.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you just take over.
All right.
Maybe I'll get you to the point where you can start, because... You have to set your privacy settings so it doesn't, like, blast list all your friends, and then they think you're stupid. Because let's face it, it's Bitstrips. Do you have any friends that do this?
I do. I do have maybe two.
And have you lost all respect for them, or just mostly?
It's an on and off thing. The respect can appear or reappear, depending on.
So I'm going to click on Get Started by Designing Your Avatar. I'm going to move this mic out of the way. All right. You can have the laptop. There you go.
All right. All righty.
I think my dad's looked more like him than mine looked like me. He did pretty good. Have you met my dad or no?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So I guess...
Well, he looks like a cartoon dude.
He looks like a cartoon... He looks exactly... So that was a photo...
Yeah, it was photorealism, yeah. Wow. All right, so you better get started now. You get to choose your skin tone. We just talked about your tan, so...
Oh. So do I want to choose my current self or my past Caucasian self that I inadvertently have revealed to the masses here of Lone Out?
Right.
Let's see.
Here. It's kind of a black like me situation, except it's just... Hispanic like me.
Indeed. Let's go with this one. That guy actually almost looks like me.
You look like generic dude.
I look like generic dude. I'm very generic.
Have you noticed that all the face shapes are the same, except this one with like the super wide eyes? Maybe it's because I'm off to the angle. But
I don't even know what shape is my face. I don't know what shape my face is. How long is my hair? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's me. Long hair. Long hair. I'm a hippie thing. But
The Jesus.
There we go.
I don't think Oh my god, there's four pages of eyebrows?
Uh-huh.
What the hell? This one looks... no. Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there
it's
we go.
Perfect.
What is my eye shape? What? Oh yeah, that's me.
That's a little too Asian. Oh, that one looks worried. That's perfect.
You think so? Yeah, that is for the nervous Mexican. There we go. Yeah. Choose my mouth. What? 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 As Austin would say. Oh, yeah, with lipstick. Yeah, that's me. Half of these are with lipstick. Oh, wait. Oh, shoot.
You can go back.
You go back?
Yeah, scroll down a little bit. You can go back. Because you picked one of the lipstick on.
There you go. Yes, we need to go back here. Thank you.
So your options are...
Oh, I only have three options.
Yes.
Apparently they believe more girls play this than guys, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I guess.
That's your choice.
That's my choice. My ears.
Okay, so you want one with attached lobes. Because it looks like that's what you've got. So any of these, I guess.
Oh, I see what you're...
Yeah, that looks about right. Because they're fucking ears, and who gives a shit?
Right.
Oh, this is wrinkles. But you've got a little baby face, so I don't think you have to worry about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there. Yeah, I'm a baby face Castro.
Wow, that's some sweet facial hair. Oh, I think I see yours. Oh.
Which one?
Oh, down here.
Really?
There's a second page of these also. Hopefully they've got more mustaches. Oh, they have a mustache and 5 o'clock shadow.
Wow. let's see.
Not a lot of options for facial hair.
No.
Huh. As we've established before, you do have a mustache on your mouth.
I do have a mustache on my mouth.
Yes, you are mustache prevalent.
I am. I have infected with the mustache craze.
So fine-tuning, like, means put a baseball hat on kind of thing.
Did you do it?
Did I put a baseball hat on? Yeah. I don't wear a baseball
no.
hat.
No. So. Did you fine tune your avatar?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I put a hoodie sweatshirt on. Maybe it's the Frio talking, but that avatar's looking pretty good.
Oh, really?
No. What is this?
What?
I think it's supposed to be like a shaking of a fist hand motion, but it looks like a jerk-off hand motion.
Actually, I was thinking of you'll miss a money bendel.
They can tell you're Mexican on here?
Yes, it can.
No, it looks like racist. It looks like this to me. It looks like the jerk-off hand motion.
I'm saying we've discovered bitch trips to be racist, and it's racist stereotyping.
There is one where you do it with like when you've got a partner, and it just says new couch, and the two of you are just in the scene looking at a couch.
Hmm.
It's retarded. Make a friend comic. Here we go. So I should come up as an option. These are all your friends who have made them.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know these people and I don't. How accurate are these?
Let's take a look. I would say that's accurate.
Oh, here's me. I don't know why my tongue is hanging out. Like.
Oh, yeah. That's accurate. That's not accurate.
I think he just chose the standard guy.
Yeah, that's not accurate. That's not. I can tell you that's not accurate.
Why is he a black man?
Hispanic, kind of, gentleman.
So,
that's good. That's maybe good.
Is this guy a priest or what's he going for?
He's not a priest. I have no idea why he chose that option. That's kind of right. That's kind of right. Let's see who else. A lot of friends of mine apparently have done this. They just, I guess, do not post on their Facebook quite a bit.
Apparently this guy is the guy from Breaking Bad.
Yes, he...
Does he really look like that?
And actually, indeed, yes, I do know Walter White from Breaking Bad, yes. You've discovered that.
Okay, so let's select me, and let's go get into some hijinks.
Yeah.
Into some comic-based hijinks.
Oh, my.
All right. Look how much smaller you are than me. Like my whole child.
Ooh, look, here's my choo-choo.
Wow.
Fernando choo-choo chooses Emily.
We need to see if we can find something where it looks like we're podcasting.
Okay.
I like this, where we're both reaching for the last chip, and I look really hostile, and you look really sorry.
And that's probably representative of real life. I would be like, oh, you can have it, Emily. And you would be, yeah, it's mine. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm a real cunt.
No. Unless working with Emily. That is true. Let's see.
You look like Professor Xavier or something in this. It's supposed to be an office chair and it looks like a wheelchair.
You will lead the X-Men. Emily, you will lead the X-Men to the next battle.
Oh, I do have a smoking habit. Yeah, oh, here it is. New couch.
There's what? Right. Looking for the new couch.
Yeah, new couch. This kind of looks like work, except it's the opposite.
You wear the headphones.
I wear the headphones so I don't hear you talking to yourself in the office.
How dare you?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is here.
Fernando rubs Emily out.
I beg your pardon?
I am quoting the text that's on the screen.
What are we? We're vomiting? We're what?
We don't feel so good.
Why is it I was vomiting?
We're just looking at each other. Apparently that makes us vomit.
Why are there so many scenarios?
Because there are so many possibilities in life.
We may just have to pick something.
Okay. There we are.
Yep. I don't know why mine looks so pissed all the time. That's pretty cute.
Alrighty.
I think you scroll down. Oh, yeah, there. To select. Alright. It says shared, but since we selected only sharing to you, it's just going to be on your timeline. We could probably just save it and put it on the Lone Holdout Facebook.
Alright.
So none of your friends have to know what you did. Unless they're also using it.
I'm scared. Alright.
So, how was that?
That was an intriguing experience. Creating my own comic.
So, is this going to be an all-the-time thing for you?
Probably not.
Did you have fun interviewing your dad?
I did. It was very enlightening.
Did you learn anything about him?
in that, I guess in the process of interviewing, of or at least preparing for the interview, I did learn that at my age, he did enter the Korean War. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm nowhere close to doing, is join in terms of joining the military or going off and fighting a war. And the
well,
fact that he
we
did
might
that,
actually be too old. Like, you're kind of getting to the point where it's not really something that's in your future. People do that at a younger age.
True, yeah. I'm assuming then, back then, I guess, there was more of a need for it, and so the restrictions
probably
were less.
Yeah.
The
did
age
they,
limit was
Did they
higher.
Draft for that? They drafted, right?
They drafted, but he... But as if you listen to the interview, there was some confusion, I guess, whether or not... Because he had once told me that he was drafted, but I guess he volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
And was... didn't necessarily go exactly the way he had envisioned, but apparently he did. He joined the war, but yeah, I believe there was a draft.
My dad mentions Vietnam in his, because I guess when he was my age, the Vietnam War had just ended.
Right.
And he's talking about the political atmosphere following that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his brother was drafted for Vietnam, and my dad's number came up, but once they've drafted one person out of the family, they don't take another one, even if their number comes up. So
wow.
My dad did not have to go.
I did not know that.
So, what, outside of the interview, just in your experience with your dad, what has he taught you? What, now that we're getting kind of to the end of this experience and Father's Day is coming up in a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
when you reflect on your relationship with your dad, what has he taught you about life or being a man or making good decisions?
It's hard to say. I mean, he's definitely been there and he's tried to show me the right path. And, you know, there are times when he will sit me down and try to give me advice on situations that I'm in, whether it be business or personal and whatnot.
Or personal business.
So I may not necessarily say my personal business, or ask for advice about personal issues, because he does come... He, like my mom, do come from a different time, so mm-hmm. their advice could be outdated, perhaps.
Right.
But, I mean, all in all, though, he will... Trying to think of some specific instances, but... I guess the only thing I can think of... I mean, one time he did try to... We were in a swimming pool, and...
How old were you?
I was probably 14, 15 or something, and we were at, I think, some vacation, we were at a swimming pool, and he started to try to talk to me about the birds and the bees.
It seems like at that age you should know a little bit already.
Right, and okay. I did, but
okay.
he hadn't done it yet, so he decided, yeah, let's do this now. So, he definitely has tried to influence my upbringing, and I believe he's done a good job.
You want to talk about the birds and the bees later? Because you might be missing some gaps.
Really? There are birds and bees involved, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it only happens in springtime.
Okay.
I mean, you have to worry about it now because the season is past.
Whew.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank
I know.
You.
The, heat, the heat is off, so to speak.
That's right.
So, speaking of a different generation, I think, I mean, obviously, my dad is also from a different generation. And it seems like when I was being raised in the 80s, it was kind of acceptable still for the mom to stay at home and the dad to go out and work, and that was the dad's contribution to the family. And
I agree.
I'm trying to find some zen in that because, you know, now that I'm working again and I'm having to take the kids to daycare quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see the value in the fact that that can be my contribution, that love for your family comes in different forms. And just because I'm off working all the time doesn't mean that I'm being a bad parent.
Indeed. I mean, we do what we do to, our parents do what they do for their children, and
right.
whatever situation needs, wherever they're needed, you know, they will go and do. You need to support your children financially, which is why you're working.
Right.
But you must make sure that they're taken care of while they're being...
Well, and I'm old enough now to have formed my own opinions of my parents. And I think that with my children, that's what they're going to do as well. With up to a point, there's only so much I can do to influence. You know, I could be the best parent I can be, but when they're older, they're going to decide what they think of my behavior. So, so I've gotten to an age where I can appreciate what my dad did for us as children, even though he, you know, was always working. That's what he had to do to keep the family going. So,
yeah, and I would say, I feel the same way. My dad worked a lot when I was young, but he's retired. So, he's been retired for more than 10 years. So since my teenage years. So, in that regard, I guess it's been different for me in a sense that I've had than maybe perhaps most sons or daughters. I have had dad at home when I would come home from school in high school years or junior high, and my dad was around to take care of the house and whatnot. But other than that, I can tell my dad's been around to help us as well.
So I think we're getting ready to wrap up, so we should probably go ahead and say Happy Father's Day to anyone who's listening to this. I know my brother Sam is a father, and he'll be listening.
Happy Father's Day to him and to all your listeners.
There's the aforementioned Bartleby. He might listen, and he's got a daughter, so happy Father's Day to him as well.
Happy Father's Day to him. Happy Father's Day to anyone I know who might be listening to this, who is a father.
Our dads probably aren't going to listen.
I do.
I get the feeling your dad's not very technologically savvy.
If I can teach him how to turn on the computer, then he might listen to it.
How's his hearing these days?
He wears a hearing aid.
Oh, my dad is pretty deaf. He does not wear any hearing aid, so... happy Father's Day to them, too.
Happy Father's Day to them. If you're ever listening to this, I don't know why you are, but...
And dads, you have given us all your wisdom, but we're going to impart some upon you as well. Hey, guys.
Don't cook naked.
Don't cook naked. Good night.
Welcome to the 90s, Dad.
All right, Daddy. I'm 28 years old. So, you were born in 1932. So, when you were 28, the year was 1950. Because you add 32 plus 28, that makes 1950. Right. So, let's just start off real simple, general at the moment. What do you remember from back then in 1950?
Well, in 1950, I was thinking of going to the join the army. The Korean War had got started in
1950. So were a lot of your friends, a lot of people that you knew, were they joining the army? Or was joining the army something that you wanted to do? Was it things that people were, a lot of men around your time, is that what they were doing, joining the army, or going to the military?
I don't know anything other than they did have a buddy system that you could go with your buddy and volunteer. And I did go to San Antonio and volunteer, and I passed the physical. My buddy didn't pass, so they turned him down. And then a week later, I got a notice on a mail that I was being drafted, and I had to go back to see the retake physical.
Right.
And then from there, I went to El Paso and Fort Bliss, Texas, have my basic training. And then from there, I went to California, where I was shipped overseas to Japan and then to Korea.
All right, so that is what happened in 1950. The Korean War started in 1950. Nowadays, we still have wars. We still have the Iraq War. We still have the war in Afghanistan. There's, of course, you probably have heard people speak against the war, heard people speak for the war. What was the what were people in America back then? How did they view the Korean War, from what you remember?
Well, they used to call it the Forgotten War.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of people never had heard about Korea.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of questions about that because they even asked students in school and in high school if they knew where Korea was, and they said they never heard of it.
Right.
And so, no, it's then the other wars, that was after I came home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't discharged.
Mm-hmm.
But about the other, I'm just glad that I didn't get to go to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of this other, like, Iraq or something like that.
Right.
So, I'm glad that, in a way, the Korean War was, it was a war, no war is any good, but the Korean War wasn't all that, that dangerous, that bad, you know.
Do you believe that's maybe one reason it is the Forgotten War, that because it didn't have the attention that the other wars have had since?
Right, right. For one thing, that, you know, like the Vietnam War got all the attention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Korean War never, you know, that's why they call it the Forgotten War.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a war where a lot of my friends never came back. So they're all bad.
They're all bad, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad that it was just for 2 years I was drafted. If I would have volunteered, I would have been there 3 years.
Right.
So.
So, in 1950, there were a lot of things happening. There was President Truman. Harry S. Truman was president of the United States.
Yeah.
What do you remember about him? What do you remember about Truman? Because nowadays, you know, there's lots of attention.
He was a good president. He was a good, in my opinion, he was a good president. And then, of course, when I was sent to Korea, it was Eisenhower, the one that took after Truman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a, you know, he got elected by campaigning, saying that he would bring their American sons and boyfriends home and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a lot of votes on that, that he would stop the war, and in a way, I guess he did.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't help me any, because then I was sent to Korea.
Right. But at the same time, I believe you've mentioned once that you did try to join voluntarily.
Yeah.
And then, but it didn't work out. That didn't work out because your friend...
Well, they had this buddy system, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could go and take your physical and then go overseas together.
Right.
So that's what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But my buddy didn't pass the physical, so they turned him down. They told him that they could fix him up. And then draft him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the armed forces, the Air Force, the Army, or the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he said he was going to wait. In the meantime, I didn't have no choice but to go on. And then when I got to Korea,
Actually, let's go back. Let's go backwards there. So, your buddy wasn't able to join. So
he joined. When I got to Korea, after I got there, I got a letter from him saying that that he had decided to get himself fixed, let the army fix him. You know,
mm-hmm.
He was ruptured. That's the reason he didn't pass the physical, because he had an eruption.
Okay.
And
What do you mean by eruption?
Oh, here in the legs, you know.
Oh.
They got, you know, there's something about, you know. And so they would, okay. The army said that they would fix him up, but okay. after they fixed him up, he would have to join one of the forces, the Navy, Army, or Air Force. Otherwise, if he didn't, they would draft him.
Okay.
But in the meantime, before they draft him, he had the choice of join whatever force he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to join the Navy.
Okay.
And that's what happened. He joined the Navy, and of course, by joining, he had to go in there for 4 years instead of just two, like me.
Right.
So, I'm glad that I didn't have to stay there 4 years in Korea, but I did the time. And when I came back home, I used to see him, you know, come home, but he was still in there because when you volunteer, you have to go spend more time than when you get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
When you get drafted, it just automatically 2 years
right.
service. But if you join, if you volunteer, then you got to go either 3 or 4 years, whatever.
Exactly. And nowadays, there has not been a draft for several decades, so...
That's right.
So, would you consider young people to be lucky, in that we've had wars, but there has not been a draft?
Oh, yeah, that's right, because... there for a while they were doing it with numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that really did work, but, you know, I don't know why, like during the Korean War, Iraq.
Oh, Iraq War.
Iraq, there were so many to volunteer, but that was because they were National Guard, you know, they belonged to the National Guard.
Right.
They joined the National Guard, and they just like having a job. A lot of times, you know, the chances of going overseas not very much. In the meantime, you get a check every month.
Right.
So, you know, that's why a lot of them joined with the economy the way it was, that there was no work or anything. A lot of them joined the National Guard, and eventually some of the National Guard. Groups were sent to Iraq, but in the meantime they were getting a check just like having a job, an extra or side job or extra job, you know. So that helped them a lot. That's why they were volunteered to join the National Guard. A lot of them wind up in Iraq.
Right. All right. So in 1950 you had not joined the army yet, because you joined in 1953. So in 1950, when you were 28, where were you living?
I was living here in Thrall.
In Thrall? Okay. Thrall is the small town that we live in here in Texas. Did you have a job?
Well, on the fields, picking cotton.
Picking cotton. Was that what a lot of people in town worked for?
Yeah, that's all there was. There was no other job because Thrall is a small town, don't have no industry, no factories or anything like that.
Right.
So the only work there was working out in the fields, you know, chopping cotton or picking cotton or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there was. That's one of the reasons I wanted to join the army, to get away from the working out in the hot sun.
Instead of the... So it's, you wanted to go from the hot... away from the hot sun of the cotton fields to the hotness of the Korean jungle.
I wanted to join the army so I could do some traveling, go to different countries.
Right.
And I had that chance to see different countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have no regrets on that.
Right. So where would you go to shop? Where would you go to buy groceries, buy clothes? Where would you? What type of place would you go to?
When you were
in 1950, when you were 28.
Oh, when you were still here.
When you were still here, yes. When you're still.
Well, Taylor.
Taylor, of course. Taylor being the town next to us that's slightly bigger than Thrall's. Like, what can you name some stores that were around back then?
Well, there was there were two stores. They were very... I can't think of their name now.
Really? Okay.
Piggly Wiggly was one of them.
Piggly Wiggly, yes. That's definitely one older and store.
Safeways.
Safeways.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was another one.
That was another one. Would you say... So Texas was your home. Would you say Texas back then you enjoyed being here? Like, there was no...
Here in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah.
But you wanted to travel.
I wanted to travel, and the only thing I didn't like about Texas, it get too hot.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that doesn't change. That doesn't change. Texas continues to be hot to this day. So some interesting things about 1950 that are happening now, that are related to what's happening now. 1950, Governor Rick Perry of Texas was born. Mm-hmm. As was Jay Leno, he was born. Stevie Wonder, they were born. But back then, people that were popular were stars like John Wayne, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Betty Grable, James Stewart. Did you watch movies back then? Did you?
Oh, yeah, I love movies. I always have watched movies. I used to go to the two theaters here in Taylor. The one was named Rita. And the other one was named Howard Theater. And I used, of course, at that time there still wasn't there were no television. And if there was, people couldn't afford them; they were too expensive. But I used to go to at the Rita Theater. They show Cowboys every Saturday.
Oh, really?
And I had to go see them Cowboys and. And sometimes I didn't have enough with watching the cowboy movie. I go to the Rita theater. The only thing I didn't like about the other theater was because they always show a romantic musical movies, and I don't like musicals.
You don't like musicals?
No.
So you're not a Tony? You don't watch the Tony Awards with the Broadway?
No. I don't like stuff like that.
You don't like stuff like that? Oh, that's too bad.
At one time they had another theater, a Mexican theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I used to go to that one, too.
Right. Back in 1950, back in 1950, there were musical talents that were very popular at the time, such as Gene Autry, the Ames Brothers, Nat King Cole.
Right.
Those are some of your favorite musicians back then, or what was the type of music you'd listen to in 1950?
Country. It's always been one of my favorite. Country music has been my favorite. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and when I came out of the service, I got married, and then I went to Colorado find job, because I couldn't find a job over here, and I got a job with a Halliburton Oil Well Cement Company.
Right.
And then I went to work for Levi Strauss in Wichita Falls.
Right.
And then I went to Iowa, Mason City, Iowa, to work for Armors, the meatpacking plant. And then from there I went to East Chicago.
Right.
Worked for Allen Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there I went to work for Chrysler.
Right.
In Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that is one big part about your life, one big part about your life is you did work for Chrysler, so you worked in manufacturing plants, and you helped put together cars and whatnot.
Yeah, I worked for them 27 years, and so
what type of car did you have in 1950?
50.
Did you have a car in 1950? Or did
yeah,
you...
a Dodge Dart. It was a small car. It was one of the first small car that Chrysler produced.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a real good car.
Really?
I used to go hunting rabbits with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it a good car to go down the countryside?
Yeah, countryside and big holes. Sometimes I'd run into some of them big holes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That car never did give me no problem. And I didn't take that much good care of it. But I did enjoy having that car. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind having another one.
You wouldn't mind having another Dodge Dart?
Dodge Dart, yeah.
Dodge Dart or Dodge Dark?
Dark. D-A-R-T.
Dart.
Dart.
Dart. Dodge Darts. Okay. So, all in all, so that is... let's just recap. So, life in 1950, you were here in Thrall, small town
yeah.
of Thrall. You picked cotton, but you did go to the movies.
Yeah.
You had your own car. You hunted rabbits
yeah.
with your Dodge Darts. But so... looking back in your in this time that was, I guess, shortly before you did leave for Korea, what would you say are your most what stands out in your mind from your time here in Thrall right before you left for Korea? What do you remember most from
before you went
because you in 1950.
Yeah.
It was before you left for Korea.
Yeah.
So, in your time here around that time, what would you say is your most biggest memory?
Well, that I did work for Alcoa Aluminum Company there in Rockdale.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed working there because there were a lot of friends of mine
mm-hmm.
that were working there too.
Okay.
Because that's all there it was. There,
right.
That's the only kind of work there was besides working out in the cotton fields.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that part. And that was when I was beginning to go out and go to Austin on Saturday nights. And
mm-hmm.
I used to go to Austin with all our friends. You know. So
oh, okay.
We used to have a good time. So that's one of the things, but I was... I wanted to get out, you know, I'm glad I worked for all these other companies
mm-hmm.
like Halliburton and Chrysler because with Chrysler I get a good pension and now I'm enjoying that pension by being retiree
mm-hmm.
and have enough to get by. So it was a pretty good life that I had.
Right.
I don't have no complaints. The only time I love fishing, and the only complaint I have is when the fish don't bite.
That can be a problem when you're trying to fish.
Yeah.
So that was life back then. Obviously, things have changed a lot since then. We are in the electronic age.
Right.
A lot of things around us are digital and whatnot. So I'm going to try to gauge your understanding of some current terms or some things. I'm going to say some words, and I'm going to let you tell me what they are. Facebook. What is Facebook?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I have heard that a lot, but I don't know. There's a lot of things that I have heard lately, electronic new things that has come out
mm-hmm.
that I don't know what they are. Cause I never even have tried to find out or check them out. You
right.
know, I haven't even tried that because I figure, what's the use? I mean, at my age, my mind is not as smart or as, as alert that... it would be if I was young,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not.
Okay.
And so why waste trying to find out something that I know that I can? At Chrysler, I had to sometimes use a computer, which they give us school classes to learn how to work it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I wasn't crazy about it to work with a computer, because it got to the point where they wanted to do everything with the computer, the assembly plant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, inspect the cars and all of that after they've been worked on and with a computer. And I did work with a computer while checking out, inspecting the cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty near to my retirement, so I was glad to get out of there.
Right. Let's get out of there. So to confirm, you do know what a computer is.
Yeah, right.
You do know what a computer is. Okay, well, in that case, let's go on. Do you know what Twitter is?
No.
Do you want to know?
No.
Okay, yeah. We'll skip that question then. Okay. Well, Facebook and Twitter, those are two things that we find on the internet.
Uh-huh.
What is the difference between the internet and the computer?
I don't know.
You do not know.
No idea.
Really? Then why do you not know why people say internet sometimes and computer other times?
No, I really don't know. I mean, I hear them say it, but I don't know what they're talking about.
What they're talking about? Okay, well, we'll just leave that alone then. Some current things that have changed since 1950. In terms of music, country music is still around.
Yeah.
Popular music is still around.
Uh-huh.
Rock and roll is still around.
Uh-huh.
One thing's new is rap music.
Yeah.
What's rap music?
I don't know, because when I hear it, I don't know what they're singing. I don't know what they're doing.
You don't understand it?
Come out clear what they're trying to sing, because that's one of the things I like about country music. It's more clear, you understand. It's got some kind of a story behind it when you hear a song.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're all pretty sad songs. That's the only thing about it. But other than that, I still like country instead of all this other modern music, like especially rap music.
Right.
So, I don't understand it.
So it's not your cup of tea.
That's right.
It's not your cup of tea. Okay. Well, let's go to another type of tea. You mentioned you did not have TV when you were 28 or in the 1950, mm-hmm. but you did eventually get a television. You did start to watch some shows such as... what are some of your favorite old-time shows that you...
Well, it was Gunsmoke and there were other ones like... You know, they had, let me see, Gunsmoke and
you like the Andy Griffith Show?
There was there was shows, you know, like,
F-Troop.
Yeah, F-Troop, Have Gun Will Travel, or something like that, and, FBI, and... Sort of like that, you know, but mostly Gunsmoke and Rawhide.
Rawhide. Those are you like the Westerns.
Yeah.
So you're more of a Western
right.
type of fan. Okay. Some shows nowadays, though, that they've changed. Do you know what The Walking Dead is? The TV show The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's... It's a movie about a bunch of, I don't know what they call them, disfigured faces.
They're zombies.
Zombies.
They're called walkers on the show, but they're called, in general, the generic term is zombies.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So that's one show. You watch any of these shows, the reality shows like Dancing with the Stars? You know what Dancing with the Stars is?
Yeah. I've seen it, you know, but I don't get nothing out of it.
You don't get anything out
of it? No, I don't care for it no more. I can take it or leave it, in other words.
Well, it's Star Trek. What are your feelings on Star Trek?
Well, Star Trek, I did begin, when they first started coming out, you know, I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got away from it.
Oh, really?
But it was good, you know, that they had pretty good actors in there.
Mm-hmm. So, overall, how is the world, what do you think is one of the biggest changes the world has undergone since 1950? Because obviously, it's definitely not the same world we live in. So, what's most different?
Well, it's because everything is done so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be not like that. You know, the things were slow, and it's just like me. When I lived in Chicago for 2 years, you could see people moving fast, doing things in a hurry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're going to build a house, they get down and build that house in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
While nowadays, you know, it takes a long time. In some southern state, like here, you know, now that I'm living here in Throa, where it's a small town, and people move too slow.
Really?
In big places like Chicago or something like that, people, they're always in a hurry. They do things. They get things done, in other words.
Right.
Well, over here in Texas, it takes them a long time to build a house or something, fix a road or, you know, I don't know. It's just, there's a difference.
Right, exactly. Is the world a better place was 1950?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
How so? Even with the rap music and all that?
Well, I like it the way it is now because you don't have to... I mean, they got better. There are better hallways and everything, so that's a big plus.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see it, I remember when places like Illinois and all that, the highways weren't all that great, and they mm-hmm. were not that wide or nothing. But now with that pay-tolls that they put on pay-tolls on some of these new highways. To get money to pay for the highways
mm-hmm.
because they cost a lot of money to build.
Right.
That saves lives in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
People that use them every day to go to work.
Right.
So there's things like that have made a big difference in our way of living.
Right.
So,
I think we've covered a lot of topics, but from when you were younger and when how things are now. I'll end this interview by asking you, which time do you prefer in terms of your own life? Which time do you prefer? When you were 28, 1950, or right now?
Ah, no, 28, when I was 28. Right now, I'm too old.
You're too old.
When I was 28, I was looking forward to a lot of things, to go places and... Of course, one way I've thought that I could do that is by volunteering in the army, and let them pay for it. So, but I wound up in Korea, but I went to Japan, to do other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't have no regrets there on that. I mean, I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To learn a lot that I appreciate things better now than I did before.
Right. It all comes back to the Army.
So, yeah, you don't take things for granted no more, like after you do some traveling and see how people live in other countries.
Yes. Right, exactly. So, it's nice to know then that you like to go back to 1950 when I didn't exist, or when Mama didn't exist.
Yeah.
So, yes, you agree. Okay. So, all right. Well, then. That's it. Thank you, Tata.
Okay, amigo.
Thank you.
I love you, amigo.
Okay. Thank you. He just kissed my hand. And that's him.
Still walk.
And that's him running away.
God, Dad. You're so lame.
And now it belongs to the ages, because
yeah.
It's on the podcast. Have you ever listened to the podcast?
No, I haven't. I don't know what to do, how to get there.
Well, I put a link on Facebook, and now we know you use Facebook.
Yeah.
So, At the end of every episode, my guest will say this, the closing line. Okay. I say it as well, and it is, don't cook naked.
That's good advice.
All right, so are you ready to sign us out?
Yeah.
So, Dad, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Emily.
Thanks for being on here with me.
And don't cook naked.
Good night. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, baby. I get a real good feeling talking to you on the phone.
We got dead air, Emily.
Yeah, well, it's the magic of editing, so yeah. Don't worry.